All right. Good morning, everyone. There we go, Sam. All right. Welcome to 2023. I guess get used to saying that. And we do begin a new series this morning. It's called Stand Firm in Hope and Faith. It's a study, a verse-by-verse study of 1 and 2 Peter. So I invite you to find that place in your copy of God's Word. 1 Peter, if you need the chair Bible, is on page 769. 2 Peter is on page 772. We're going to touch on the first verses of each book this morning. Before we go do that, though, I know many of you have asked about the services for Barb, and it's not official and there's no time yet, but it's very likely going to be next Thursday, January 12th, sometime in the afternoon or even possibly evening, and we'll update you when we have that information. And appreciate Brian praying for them this morning. Continue praying for them as they walk through this. They are rejoicing because Barb is in heaven. She is with her Savior, but the loss is real. And many of you have gone through similar losses and know how they feel. So we are going to be doing this study, Stand Firm in Hope and Faith, for the next several months. Lord willing, we're going to finish it by the time summer rolls around. We're going to have a summer series like we did last year. But we're going to go verse by verse through both these books, 1 Peter and then 2 Peter. But I'm going to put out a challenge, your first challenge of the new year, and that is these are letters. And how many of you read just one paragraph of a letter or a text message or an email or a card and then go back the next week and read the next section? That's not how it works, right? It's a letter, it's a message, you read the entire thing. Now, we're going to do it verse by verse, and we're going to take sections at a time, and there is value and importance in doing that, but I encourage you, as we go through this, while we're in 1 Peter, read through the entire book, 5 chapters, once a week in one sitting. 2 Peter is really easy. It's only 3 chapters. You get 2 less chapters, but the point is that you are going to grasp the overall context and goal of the letter and be more familiar when we come in Sunday mornings and pull out little sections and talk about them, so I encourage you to do that. And it's going to help you prepare for what you hear on Sunday mornings from myself or Caleb when he's going to be preaching from these books as well. Now, before we look at the letters in detail, I want to just look at the very first verse of each one. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So that's how he introduces the letter. Now, if you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, here's how he introduces this letter. 2 Peter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So before we dive into these letters, we're going to actually talk about this guy, Peter. And we're going to do it with audience participation. So when we introduce the identity series, we use the catch box, and a couple of people have said they liked it. Some people said, when are we going to do it again? Well, we're going to do it again this morning. So we're going to talk about and answer the question, who is Peter, with audience participation? So George is really nervous because she doesn't know what's coming to fill in the blank, and I gave her the catch box because we went that way last time, so we're going to start there and go around. So here's the question, Georgia. Peter is blank. Answer the question, fill in the blank, finish the sentence in very brief, 1, 2, 3 words, whatever it is. This is who Peter is. So George is going to start, and then if you have an answer, we're going to go back through this side, come up, and then go over the annex. So the guys are going to put up a timer for me for 5 minutes, just like we did last time, and go, Georgia. Peter is?
A messenger.
Okay.
Outspoken.
Impetuous.
An apostle.
And if you don't want to do it, just go ahead and pass it on. It's not required for audience participation.
A fisherman.
Okay.
Oh, send it on.
All right.
Please, somebody take it.
Peter had obtained like precious faith.
Okay. All right, if anybody in the back wants it, Spencer does not, so just raise your hand. Man, we're not going to fill up 5 minutes. Oh, all right, you guys are just not awake. Maybe I shouldn't have done this after you stayed up all night. Oh, did he catch it?
I did.
Okay, all right, good job.
Peter is a rock.
Okay, good.
Peter is bold.
Peter
The only other one I know that walked on water other than Jesus.
Okay, we're going to talk about that. Anybody up in this side? Raise your hand. Nick's got it. Nobody? All right. Eddie, the Corbells want to try. So.
A husband.
Strong-willed. A disciple.
Okay. Any of the other? Oh, Trent's going to go.
An apostle.
All right. Anybody in the behind them? Oh, Mrs. Smith.
Peter shed tears over his sin.
Okay, good. All right, anybody else? All right, so we only took about 2 minutes, maybe a little more, but we're going to go with what you said. We're going to talk about some of the things you said this morning. But how do we summarize who Peter is? Who is Peter? Here's my summary. Peter is just like you, just like me. You talked about him being a fisherman. Well, not many of us are fishermen in the sense he was, but we are ones who are impetuous. We are ones who make mistakes. We are ones who do the right things sometimes. Peter is human. He was just like you. He's just like me. He, just like us, failed. Now, some of his failures are epic and fantastic, and we recorded for all mankind to read about. Ours, thankfully, aren't, but we know we fail in the same way he did. He said the wrong things at the wrong time. He did the wrong things at the wrong time, and he didn't think a lot. He kind of just did. He spoke before he thought. He acted before he thought. And some of the things you didn't mention is that he was often ruled by his fear, especially fear of others and what they might think of him. And in spite of all that, God used him. God used him in a great, great way in the book of Acts, and then he used him again at the end of his life to write these letters which we have recorded for us. And the Peter we're going to meet and find in these two letters is very different than the Peter in the book of Acts, and he's very, very different than the Peter in the Gospels. And here's what I want you to take away about Peter as we begin this series this morning, is it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Peter started okay. He didn't start well. He started okay. But he finished way better than he started. And what we're going to look at this morning is 5 ways to learn from learning from Peter to finish like he did. Finish in 2023, but also finish life. Finish life and this year like Peter did. Finish it well. So before we do that, let's pray, because I want us to think about not, you know, how we can do this as a church, and that is applicable, but I want us to think about what God's going to speak to us about this morning in terms of what we need to do, how we need to finish like Peter did, and to learn from how he started, what he did wrong, and where he ended up. Father, we thank you for Peter. We thank you for not hiding or covering up his mistakes, his foolishness, his impetuousness, even his sin, that we can see ourselves in his life. But more than seeing ourselves in his failures and his sins, Lord, help us to see the choices he made to finish well, to finish better than he started. Lord, as we think about this year and what you would have for us, how we should finish in 365 days, what that would look like, but also 2023, 2024, 25, each year beyond, how we should finish life. We want to finish life like Peter did, and we want to finish it well. Lord, help us to hear and pay attention this morning, not simply to what your word says, but what you speak to us about, where we need to respond like Peter did when we do the wrong thing, where we need to grow like Peter did and do the right thing. Help us to hear from you and be willing to commit and take on the challenge of finishing like Peter did this morning. Lord, we thank you for including these letters in Peter's life. We thank you for that you are joining us here this morning, and that you would be pleased with what's said and done, but how we respond to what you speak to us about individually this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. So how do I finish? To finish like Peter, I need to respond to God's call. That's where it begins. To finish like Peter, I need to respond to God's call. So we just saw Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So those names may not be familiar to you, but this is where they are in the world, what is now modern-day Turkey. So we don't know whether Peter ever visited these places or knew anyone personally. We know that Paul did, and he founded churches there, and he might be writing to the churches Paul founded or the churches that the church that Paul founded where they grew and spread and founded other churches. So we don't know whether these people knew Peter personally, but they did know Paul. And if you look at the timeline, this is likely Peter's writing after Paul has been executed in Rome. And they have heard that their founder, their spiritual mentor, has died. And so they're wondering, how are they going to go on? And Peter's trying to write to them to encourage them to stand firm. And they get this letter from Peter, and they read the first sentence, and he says, I know this guy. This is Peter. This is the guy that speaks and puts his foot in his mouth. He's the one that is rash and acts without thinking. He's the one that did his own thing at the wrong time. He's the one who actually, and we're going to talk about this morning, he rebuked Jesus Christ, God's Son. And of course, he's the one who denied Jesus. Not just once, not just twice, but three times. Peter didn't always and didn't consistently respond to God's call. But at the beginning, he did, and there were moments that he did as well. Consider what Mark chapter 1 has to say. As he, Jesus, walked by the sea, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me. And here's their response. They immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. Peter heard Jesus' call and responded. Andrew did as well. They left everything. They left family, they left friends, they left their nets, they left their boats, they left all their resources, and they left and followed Jesus. Immediate, no hesitation, first-time obedience. So we need to begin this morning by asking, have we responded to God's call on our life? Have we made the commitment to follow God? No matter where he goes, where he takes us, are we his disciples? Are we his disciples? Are we saved? Are we in Christ? As we look at the reality of the free gift of grace we talked about last week, exchanging that gift of grace for our sin, have we done that? Have we accepted the salvation he offers? Or are we still listening to our own call, the call of our desires, the call of our thoughts, the call of our heart, rather than God's? Are we obeying ourselves rather than obeying God? Now, hearing the call and responding is not simply a one-time thing. It doesn't end there. It goes from responding to God's call in our life, and then the next way to follow Peter and finish like Peter is listen to God's word and obey it. Once we've accepted his call and responded to that, now we're accountable to listen to God's word and obey it. Here's another event in Peter's life in Luke chapter 5. And he said to Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch of fish. This is Jesus talking to Peter. Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Can you imagine someone coming onto your job site and not being a mechanic or a landscaper or an electrician and telling you, this is what you need to do to be better at your job. That's what Jesus is. Now, I know Jesus is God, and I understand that. I'm not dismissing that. But this guy shows up and tells Peter, throw your nets out. And he says, look, dude, I have been doing this all night. I'm a professional fisherman. This is not where you catch fish. This is not when you catch fish. This is not how you catch fish. And by the way, there are other people standing around here, and they're going to see me, and I'm going to look foolish if I do what you say, because they know this is not how you catch fish, where you catch fish, or when you catch fish. Dude, this is just wrong. But here's what Peter says. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. God, you said it, I'll do it. Is this how we respond when we open up God's word and he says, I want you to do this. I expect you to do this. I'm telling you not to do that. How do we respond when we open up God's word and he speaks to us and he says, do this, don't do this? For example, when you open up God's word and he says, this is how you treat others, no matter how they treat you, do we respond like Peter? Or do we think, that's foolish. That'll make me look weak. That'll make me look dumb. That'll make me even look crazy. I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to do it my way. Here's the rest of the story. Peter says, "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. So here's the message. When I hear, or when God says, you need to do this or don't do that, I am responsible for my obedience. God's responsible for the results. That's it. I'm responsible for my obedience. Everything else is up to God. I'm responsible for my obedience, and God is responsible for the results. So if I'm responsible for my obedience, I need to know what God's word said. Do I know it? How often do I ask the question and answer, what does the Bible say? When's the last time I asked that question? When's the last time I answered it? Not only asked and answered, when's the last time when I saw the answer and looked at what I was about to do or I was in the middle of doing and said, oh, that's not right. And I changed. I evaluated what I was doing based on God's word. My thinking, my priorities, my attitude, my actions, my choices, my words, even my tone of voice. And I said, this is what God says. It doesn't match up with what I'm about to do or say. And I'm going to choose to do what God says. So how do we learn the answer to the question so that I don't have to go in the moment and say, I wonder what I should do here. I want to look up, what does the Bible say about this? Not that that's a bad thing. We need to do that. But there's a way we can be prepared. Do we have a Bible reading routine? Do you have a time of day in a place where you go and sit and read the Bible on a regular basis? Where do you do it, and when do you do it? When does it fit into your schedule and into your life? I'm not saying you have to read it in the morning, you have to read it in the evening, but you should have a habit where you say, at this time, every day, I go and read the Bible so I know what the Bible says. If you have that, what's your Bible reading plan for this year? Do you have a Bible reading plan for 2023? 2022 is over. You should have finished your Bible reading plan. What is it for this year? Now, today's January 1, so even if you haven't started it, you're not behind. You can still start it today, okay? If you have a smartphone, which many of you do, you can download the free YouVersion Bible app, and they have multiple, probably hundreds, I don't even count it, number of plans that you can follow for free. If you say, well, I don't really like reading the Bible on my smartphone, or I don't have a smartphone, or I don't want to get into that habit of being tempted to flip to another app and do something that I shouldn't while I'm reading my Bible, and I want to do it in paper. Well, there's lots of plans out there. If you want one, let me know. But here's the easiest one, especially if you don't have a Bible reading habit, Bible reading plan. Start tomorrow. So you can actually start today, but it doesn't start till tomorrow. So you can be a day ahead. Read Matthew chapter 1. Tuesday, read Matthew chapter 2. Monday through Friday, you read a chapter in the New Testament. And you have 2 extra days to catch up because you will miss and you will get behind. And then by the end of this year, 365 days from now, you will have completed the entire New Testament. That's one of the simplest Bible reading plans to have. Now, in addition to that, I'm going to challenge you to do something else. We are in a series called Stand Firm in Hope and Faith, 1st and 2nd Peter. So in your bulletin this morning, if you didn't get one, I encourage you, there's extra in the foyer, pick one up. On one side is the verse for the year. We're going to talk about that in a moment. On the other side is our schedule. Now, I know this is written in ink and stuff, but it's not written in stone because this might vary a little bit to see. But January, February, and March, we're going to be working through 1 Peter. Once a week, I encourage you, I challenge you, read through the book of 1 Peter. We already talked about that. Then April, May, and June, read through the book of 2 Peter. There's your challenge. Keep up with what we're doing. Now, not just do I have a Bible reading plan, not just if I'm going to read 1 and 2 Peter, do I have a reading plan? Do I have a reading plan? We're going to talk about that in a moment, but let's talk about not only reading plan, but memorizing plan. When is the last time you memorized a verse of the Bible? Now, if you're in Awana, you probably did it recently, right? Kids are going to say, well, I did it last week, or the last time we went in Awana, I said my verse. And the last time we as a church had a verse was 2021, because we went through Minor Prophets and it took more than a year. So we are going to have 2 verses this year, one from 1 Peter, one from 2 Peter. Here's 1 Peter. You don't have to quote it. We're going to start next week. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense for everyone who asks you a reason for the hope, stand firm in hope, that is in you with meekness and fear. So we're going to be memorizing that verse. I know some of you may know part of it or know it already, so you're ahead of the rest of us. Here's a verse from 2 Peter. Giving all diligence to add to your faith, stand firm in faith, that's where it comes from, your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Am I going to learn these verses this year? And you can continue. You don't have to just stop here. You can actually continue and say, well, that verse in 1 Peter stuck out to me. That verse in 2 Peter stuck out to me. Read them, memorize them. So I encourage you to use this as a bookmark. Put this in your bathroom. I was going to say put it on your dash, but that might not be a good idea. But spend time memorizing God's word. So when you say, what does God's word say? I already have the answer. Go beyond reading God's word. There are great books out there. Read for fun. That is a great opportunity. But I'm talking about taking a challenge, one book this year that will help you grow in your walk with God or help you understand God's word. Find a book and read it. One book. Now, you can go beyond that, but I'm just challenging you to one book. Will you commit to read at least one additional book this year? Now, Peter did listen to God's word. He did obey God's word sometimes. And here are some of the more obvious times when he failed to do that. Here's one in John 21, where he says, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they say, well, what's the big deal? Peter's a fisherman. Hang on. We're going with you also. And they went out and immediately got into the boat. So there's at least 11 of them here going out. And here's the problem. Peter answered God's call way 3 years ago, and he said, I'm giving up all that for what God wants. And here's what God told him he wanted. This is the angel's message to the women at the tomb on the day Jesus rose from the dead. And he says, go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said. So here we understand Jesus said, after I rise from the dead, I'm going here. You get here and wait for me. Well, they went and waited, and Peter got bored. He got frustrated that God was a little slow. He wasn't on God's Peter time. He was on God's time. And so he says, I'm going fishing. I'm going to abandon what I had, and I'm going to disobey God. Now, Mark chapter 16. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. So he's telling them, this is God's plan for me, for the Messiah. I came to die, to suffer, and to rise again. Then Peter said to him, and took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. Peter pulls Jesus aside and speaks to him as a superior to an inferior, as someone who has authority over the one he's speaking to, and says, this plan, God, this plan, Jesus, I'm not on board with it. You need to knock it off. You and your father developed this plan. It's wrong. You need to find a different plan. This is not how my Messiah works. This is not how it is supposed to happen. He doesn't die. He doesn't get punished. I don't like it. I won't allow it. Peter, in his pride and arrogance, is unwilling to accept God's word. And then he goes so far as to rebuke Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Here's what God says to him, Jesus. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Peter. No, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. Peter, you're acting just like Satan. You are proud like Satan. You are driven by your pride. You're not paying attention to what I have told you, that this is God's word. I am telling you this, and you're saying, no, I know better. And we all know the one that Peter is most famous for. On the night Jesus was arrested, before he went to the cross, he tells all the disciples they're going to abandon him, they're going to leave him. And Peter's saying, nope, 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 not me, Lord, not me, not going to do it. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. He says, Peter, not only are you going to abandon me, you're going to deny me. Not once, not twice, 3 times. Peter says, even if I have to die, not going to happen. I got it under control, God. Matthew chapter 26. Then he, Peter, began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. And the rooster crowed. Now, usually we end the story there. But Luke adds a little bit more information that is really amazing. Luke says in Luke 22, after the third denial, Luke records, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. He has denied him publicly three times, and he makes eye contact with God, the Son of God, and he says, he knows. Not just he told me, he knows. He heard me do it. Peter is again recognizing, I am driven by my pride. I knew better. I trusted in myself. I wasn't willing to listen to God's word. I thought I could handle it without knowing what God's word said and doing what God's word says. Where are you and I like Peter? Where are we unwilling to listen to God and his word? Where in my pride do I think my way is better than yours, God? I don't need your help. I don't need your word. I don't care what your word says. Where do I not only think this? Where does it come out in my life? Where do I live this way? Where does it come out in my tongue, through my words? Where does it come out in my action, in my attitude? Where do my choices and my reactions to others show I don't care what God says, I'm unwilling to listen to him in this area of my life? Where am I unwilling to listen to God and his word? Now, we're going to leave Peter here for a moment. We're going to come back to him. He doesn't stay here because of God's grace, but we're going to come back to him in a moment. The third area that we need to think about when we need to finish like Peter is be willing to take a risk and be uncomfortable. This is the second, probably most well-known area that Peter is known for. And Nick mentioned it in the fact that he walked on water. So let's set the stage. The disciples have been working long and hard. This comes right after the feeding of a multitude. So they have been serving thousands of people and helping Jesus minister to them. And Jesus finishes up, sends the crowd away, and he says, you guys go across the Sea of Galilee. I'm going to go and pray, and I will catch up with you. So they get on. They get in the boat. They start to go across the sea. And here's the reality. There's four professional fishermen in this boat. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And they get out there, and they get in the midst of the storm, and they are afraid. Professional sailors, professional fishermen are afraid. And the rest of the disciples, you can imagine, are worse than that. So they're rowing, they're trying to get the boat across, and they're getting nowhere. They're thinking they're going to drown, or at least the boat's going to sink, and they're going to have to swim to shore. And as they're doing this, to make matters worse, they look out, and here they see this person walking on the water across the sea in the midst of the storm. Now, they initially think it's a ghost or a spirit. When he gets close enough, Jesus says, it is I, don't be afraid. And then Peter does the most natural thing in the world. And the thing that I know that you would do. He hears this and he says, God or Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come and walk on the water to you. That seems really right, the right thing to do, right? The water looks like this. He's a professional fisherman. He knows how bad it is. But if it's you, Jesus, tell me to come to you. Verse 29 of Matthew 14. So Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. Not only does Peter say, blurt out, hey, if it's you, I want to come walk on the water too. He actually gets out of the boat. Now, the sea is not calm. The storm has not been calmed yet. It is still raging, and he gets out of the boat. Peter is a professional fisherman and sailor. He has been on the sea, this sea, probably his entire adult life, and when he was a child, learning from his father. He knows physics, even though he doesn't know the word physics. There are certain things that float. Boats float. People float, but you cannot walk on water. That's not how things work. Until this moment in his life, Peter's never seen it happen. He's only seen it once. But he's willing to step out of the boat and try it. Put yourself in Peter's sandals. As you're climbing over the boat and stepping onto water that looks like this, what are you thinking? How uncomfortable are you? How nervous are you? How fearful are you? How afraid are you? Peter felt all that, and he gets out of the boat. So where is God asking you to step out of the boat, to take a risk and be uncomfortable in 2023? Is he asking you, hey, you need to take and make my word, reading my word, memorizing my word, studying my word a priority. That means you have to say no to something so that you can say yes to that. You need to make worshiping, being in community with other believers on a regular basis, a priority. That means you have to say no to something else to say yes to that. You need to make serving a commitment. And if you are a family, we're not talking about individuals here, we're talking to the family. Your family makes a commitment to be in God's word. Your family makes a commitment to be worshiping. Your family makes a commitment to be attending and serving. So let's be specific. Maybe he is asking you to take the next step. Maybe you have been saved and you need to be baptized. Maybe you have been saved and need to be baptized and become a member. Make a public profession that, yes, this is who God is. He is not simply my Savior. He is Lord of my life, and you can hold me accountable to that. Maybe you need to go beyond that. Maybe you need to say, hey, there's a Sunday school class starting next week. I usually only come for the morning service. I'm going to start coming to Sunday school. And isn't it interesting that as we built all this together and God directed me to 1 and 2 Peter, he's directed Brian to how to discern the voice of God. Coincidence? No, that's God working. Maybe you need to come and listen about how to hear God's voice and how to know what the Bible says and then live it out. Maybe you need to be part of the sermon discussion. Not just listening, not just studying, but then discussing. Here's what God said to me. Here's what God talked to me about. Here's what God challenged me with on Sunday morning from 1 Peter chapter 1. And have a conversation with others about that. Maybe if you're a lady, you say, ladies' Bible study is going to be starting up likely in February. I'm going to put that on my calendar. I'm going to block it off. Every time ladies' Bible study meets, I'm going to be here. I'm going to come prepared. I'm going to be doing my homework. I'm going to be ready to discuss what I learned from God's word. Mom's meetup. I'm going to commit to that, not simply because it's fun, but so that I can be an encouragement, a blessing to other moms who are in the same life stage I am, and we can help each other not just handle the pressures of being a mom and a wife, but also being a woman of God and living out our faith in front of our families and our children. Awana. I'm going to make a commitment that my kids are going to be in Awana, but I'm not going to just drop them off. I'm going to go to Josh and Lee or one of the leaders of one of the groups and say, my kids are here. I want to be here. I want to serve. Youth group. If you're of the age, block off Sunday afternoons, 6 p.m. Not just for the fun stuff, but I'm going to be there every week. I'm going to make sure my homework done, I'm all caught up, and I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to be here to have fun and do all those activities, but I'm going to also be there because I know that God's word is going to be open, and I need to hear that. Young adults, second and fourth Saturday of the month, starting 2 weeks from yesterday. I'm going to block that off, and if I am going to set that aside. I'm going to be here and involved in that ministry, not simply because it's going to be fun, and I'm sure it will be, but because they're going to open up God's word, and we're going to talk about it, about what that means to be a young adult who is following God, who is committed to God, who's going to take a risk for God. The first one, 3 o'clock here, ice skating, then over to the Van Allen and the Everharts. Put it on your calendar and be ready to be there. Maybe you need to take an opportunity to serve. This is a ministry that God orchestrated has taken off in ways we could never imagine. Here's the reality. I carried down approximately 50 bags this week. And there are a few faithful people who are here sorting that out. They could use your help. They would love to have your help. Not just when it's open, but on Friday nights. Hey, I'm going to come and sort clothing. Maybe you can't be here Friday night because of work or whatever. Go to Shanine and say, when can I sort clothes? Tell me what to do. I'll do it. Small groups. We got one starting up and hope maybe a couple more starting up. I want to be involved in a small group. I want to use that opportunity to spend time sitting around talking about God's word. Now, maybe you say, well, I've done that. I'm going to take the next step. I'm going to take the risk. Pastor Brian, can I host one? Can I lead one? Maybe God's saying, you need to take a risk. You need to deal with a difficult situation or a difficult circumstance in the right way, biblically. Maybe it is, hey, you have to forgive someone because that's what God asked you to do. Maybe God is saying, it's not them, it's you. You need to go to so-and-so and say, please forgive me, I was wrong when I did this. Maybe the risk God wants you to take is talking about him. Sharing your faith with someone in your family or a friend or a neighbor or a coworker, talking about who God is in your life and what he's done for you. Maybe it's simply the fact, as our pastor Tim Hamilton in Trumansburg like to say, have a spiritual conversation. Talk about God. Not necessarily you have to give the gospel, but talk about who God is, what he's doing, how you see him working in your life, what he means to you. Have spiritual conversations. Maybe that's the risk, the way you need to step out of the boat. Not talk about the weather, not talk about the Yankees or Syracuse or whatever football team is. Have spiritual conversations. Where is God asking you and I to get out of the boat, to take a risk, and be uncomfortable in 2023? Let's go back to Peter. We left him in a pretty bad spot to talk about the risks he took and following his example. To finish like Peter, remember that failure is not final. Failure is not final. Peter failed Jesus. We know that. Peter not only failed him, but he failed him repeatedly and ultimately by denying who he was. Even though Peter did all that, even though he did, God restored him in John chapter 21. And as we learned last week, he did it by his grace, because of his grace. No sin is too big or too bad for God's grace. I thought of something this week as I was considering the fact that Peter was restored after everything he did. Judas was not restored. Did you ever think about that? Why Peter and not Judas? And you might say, well, did Judas really even feel sorry for what he did? Actually, he did. Matthew 27, and this occurs before Jesus is actually crucified. Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he, Jesus, had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he, Judas, threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. So Judas was remorseful. Why was he not restored? Well, there's one reason, one word, one choice, one action that separates Peter from Judas. That is repentance. Paul talks about it this way. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. Judas was sorry, Peter was sorry, Peter repented. For you were made sorry in a godly manner that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Not to be regretted, but sorrow of the world produces death. Gary Inring has a great quote about this idea of regret versus repentance. Regret touches the emotions, but it may go no deeper than that. We read that Judas regretted what he had done. But repentance involves a change of mind, a change of will. You can have repentance without sorrow, and you can have sorrow without repentance. Regret is remorse over the consequences of an act. But repentance involves a reordering of our lives around God. That is why many of us, even as Christians, have never known God at work in our lives. Until we deal on a radical level with our sin in the presence of God and fill our minds with God's truth so that we act upon it, we will not know his power. Maybe this is what God is calling you to so you finish 2023, like Peter. You need to repent rather than just simply have regret, but repent. Biblical repentance to God, yes, and to anyone else that is necessary if you have sinned against them. And then, as Gary Inring said, fill your mind with God's truth, with God's word, and then act upon it. Reorder our lives around God, not just simply be sorry because we're suffering or we have a bad situation because of the choices we made, but actually repent and deal with things biblically and fill our minds with God and build our life around God. Is this what God is calling you to this morning? A repentance so you can finish 2023 like Peter finished. To finish like Peter, grow and mature. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2, Peter writes this, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. When you have a newborn animal, a newborn baby, the expectation is you give them what they need and they grow. Growth is expected. The same way spiritually. This is what Peter did. He took God's word, he applied it in his life, and after Jesus restored him, he began to grow. He grew before, but he grew much more afterwards. Now, he made mistakes. In Galatians 1 and 2, you can go and read how, again, he fell into the trap of being concerned about what other people thought rather than God thought. But God used him because he was willing to grow. He preached to thousands in Acts. He was a leader in the church in Acts. He dealt with people who were sinning publicly. He not only did all of that, he was taken in to the chief priest and told, don't talk about Jesus, don't talk about this gospel thing. And he said, no. Then he was beaten, and he said, no, I'm going to continue. He was put in prison. He said, no, I'm going to continue. His attitude was this. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. We ought to know what God says, and that takes precedent over anything else. This is how Peter matured. What else did he do? This is a way that he matured. This is our verse from 2 Peter. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. That seems like a lot of work. That's why Peter prefaced it with the word diligence. Peter worked at it. He worked hard at it. He was diligent. He knew what God said, and then he did it. Paul describes it this way. Exercise yourself towards godliness, for bodily exercise profits a little. But godliness is profitable for all things. The word exercise is the word gymnazo, gymnasium. It means to train, to be disciplined. In other words, to sweat, to work hard. Now, there's a difference between spiritual discipline and physical discipline. We talk about that January 1st. Well, I'm going to eat better. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to lose weight. By the end of 2023, I want to be able to run a 5K or run a half marathon or bike so many miles, whatever it is. And there's value in that. But to get to that point, you've got to work. And you can't be lazy. You can't be half-hearted at it. If you want to reach your goal, you got to work. And that's what Paul says. There's a difference between spiritual and physical exercise, but not about the level of effort. You put in the same effort. Go to God's gym and sweat. What level are you and I putting in God's gym? What spiritual muscles are we exercising? What are we training for spiritually? How hard are we working out? How much are we spiritually sweating? Reading the Bible, studying the Bible on our own, praying. Do we pray, first of all? What do we pray about? How often do we pray? If our only prayers are for physical healing, then we're going about it all wrong. We should pray for that. The Bible's clear. But that's not all we pray for. We pray for spiritual needs. We pray for growth. We pray for maturity. We pray for others to mature so that they can finish well. How about handling my anger? When something doesn't go my way, how do I respond? How do I treat others? What do I say? And if it continues that I don't get my way, do I become bitter? I need to deal with that. How do I handle the resources, the money, the things God has blessed me with? Do I treat them as mine? Or do I treat them as God's and use them the way he wanted? How do I spend my time? What do I watch? What do I look at? What do I read? How am I serving? Where am I serving? What am I doing about my sin? Am I going back? Do I need to repent? When I am sinned against, what does my response look like? We spent a lot of time talking about exercise this morning. But if we're honest, this could be us physically, and it can also be us spiritually. We're couch potatoes. That's our nature. We're lazy. I'm lazy. If we're not motivated, if we're not disciplined, we're going to look like this spiritually. It's bad enough to look like this physically. It's worse to look like this spiritually. What does my effort look like? We spent a summer talking about one anothering. That's how I treat others. I'm going to remind you. Here's what we talked about. Loving one another. How am I doing at that? Praying for one another, encouraging one another, not retaliating against one another, forgiving one another, being humble to one another, being tolerant of one another, serving one another, being hospitable to one another, stirring up one another. When we went through that series, what did God talk to you about? How are you doing it, developing that spiritual muscle, working out in that area? What spiritual muscle is God speaking to you about this morning? Telling me you need to work out in that area. That area needs work. It's flabby. It's soft. you need to put some effort in there so I can finish well. Am I putting in the effort? Am I sweating in God's gym? Or am I a spiritual couch potato? It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Do I want to finish well this year? Have I responded to God's call? When's the last time I asked and answered a question, what does God's word say? And when I found the answer, when is the last time the answer impacted my choices, my thinking, my words, my life? Am I acting on what God's word says, no matter what others may think or what others may do? Because I'm responsible for my obedience. Where am I unwilling to listen to God's word or God himself? Where do I think my way is better than God's way? Where am I willing to step out of the boat and take a risk in 2023? What risk did God challenge you about this morning that you need to take? Where does he say, step out of the boat, be uncomfortable, because I'm asking you to do it? When I fail, when we fail, which we will, do I respond like Peter, with remorse and repentance, or simply like Judas, with just remorse? I'm just sad. I don't like the consequences. What spiritual muscles has God said, go to the gym and work out? Which ones has he said, you and I need to work on this year? In 2023, are we going to go to the gym in the first week of January and then stop? Or are we going to go to it January, February, March? Are we going to consistently be there, putting in the effort, sweating spiritually, so we can mature, be like Peter, and finish like Peter? No matter where we start, no matter where I start, no matter where you start, no matter where we are, no matter how much of a spiritual couch potato I am or have become, or how much I failed, how often I failed, we can finish like Peter. I can finish like Peter. Am I going to finish like Peter? Peter stood firm and finished well. Will you and will I in 2023? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the challenge this morning from Peter's life. We see much of ourselves in Peter, mostly his failures and his brashness and his foolishness and his disobedience. Help us to also see where he ended up, how he finished well. Help us to grow in that, grow in finishing well. Whereas we've talked about many things this morning, I know that you've spoken to individuals here. Help them not to dismiss or ignore or just go on about their business pretending you haven't said you need to finish well in this area. Lord, help us as we think about the risks you've asked us to take or the way you've asked us to be more disciplined in our lives. Help this not be something that we just think about as a New Year's resolution, but something that continues each and every day of the year. And that we would look back on 2023 and see how our obedience has impacted our lives and those around us, and how you have blessed us and allowed us to finish this year well. We thank you for the year you are about to give us, and we ask that you would be pleased with how we use each moment of every day during this year. We thank you and praise you for this, and we look forward in just a few moments to celebrating the most important gift ever given, and that is your Son and the grace that gives us salvation. We thank you and praise you for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.